for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast with almost 50 years of playing PlayStation and, like, I don't know, 15 years in this game's media. But I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to join us in future conversations, you can come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. Those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this position pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. How are you, man?
I am not too bad.
Nice. I did have to chuckle there. For those that may be watching listening to the audio version, I did chuckle because as we start kicking in, because we have many may know that what join us live on Twitch, we have the 18-second countdown because I'm too lazy to actually fucking do timestamps properly. I just run by the record clock. And the intro takes 18 seconds. So we're like, all right, 18 seconds, let's wait, blah, blah, blah. And as we're ready to go, Max looks to his right as if his lovely wife, Ellie, is like, hey. And you can see him go, shit. It's just kind of like, uh-oh. And then turn in and keep going. He nailed it.
It was me wanting to ask her to grab me a drink.
Yeah.
I have to do this. I'm literally just holding out my glass like an asshole, taking it.
Or at least you got to be able to get the thank you manners. That was lovely.
She's busy baking away for her work fundraising nonsense tomorrow.
Oh, I've never done them. In every workplace I've ever been in, I have never done any of that shit.
You've never baked goods. You've just been the baked good.
No, that came way later. But like in recent years, absolutely I am that baked good. But prior to that, no. It's just I don't know. Those corporate workplace nonsense thingies, this is not for me. It's just not for me. And you work by yourself, so you don't have to experience it ever.
There's currently a book swap at my work.
And oh, yeah?
There's fucking books everywhere, all over the main, like, big table in the atrium.
Have you had what? A sift through? Because yeah. you're a book man.
There's no raunchy book porn.
Oh, is that what you're hoping for?
Yeah, that's what's some nice.
Because like I did just say a moment ago, like, oh, you're a big fan of books, and you followed up with there was no raunchy book, so fuck this noise.
Like absolute smut.
Because recently I've been watching Big Mouth, because it's a fucking incredible show. There's an episode where like all the women in that world are in love with this one book. And it's the way they sort of explain that girls can be horny too. And it's just kind of funny because as the boys in the show are trying to comprehend why the fuck is this, like, isn't this just porno? And like, yeah, but it's not porno. There's a whole episode about it. It was fucking fantastic. Ugh. But we got to do something that we don't normally often do, Max. We got to hang out together today. School holidays, we brought our kids together and they did some chaos shit in the backyard and you and I just chatted and tried not to fall asleep on a couch. Like, equally, both of us. I'm fucking exhausted, but...
Yeah, it was good. It was good to catch up. It's been a hot minute since we've caught up outside of this.
Yeah. Well, because that's the thing that everyone, like, ever since... Every podcast I've ever done is predominantly for the fun of doing it and discussing things, but it's also always just been an excuse to hang out with people in my life. Like, it's the way that we have to catch up because we're doing a thing and it's fun and it's silly and we talk about the things that we enjoy and we have a shared interest. Yeah, it's just like me. It's just me being autistic and having to provide reasons for people to hang out with me rather than just going, hey, we should hang out because, I don't know, we're friends and stuff. What a fucking weirdo. But it's good. Like, it's so great that our kids get along because there's quite a number of years between them. There's what Hadley and James is like 2 years difference, 3 years difference.
Yep.
But even what, like for me, watching James with your youngest, with Ollie, who's just turned two, like just seeing him, he's such a good kid with little dudes. And then there's Hadley, who I'm pretty sure I just saw him kick him when he was kick Ollie when he was down on the trampoline at some point.
Yeah, she gets as good as she gets.
Yeah. Oh, I noticed that too, because they were doing this running around, like pushing thing, as you know, for those playing at home. And it was kind of like, he was like lightly, like Ollie was lightly pushing James, and he was fucking heaving Hadley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bit of a jerk to his sister.
But outside of that, man, what's been going on? How's the things?
Yeah, things are alright. Mum's gone, so she's
yeah. In any case,
been part of like almost a whole month she was down for.
And that was spread between you and your sister, though. So it's yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think for the first time ever, she predominantly spent a lot more time with my sister this time around.
Yeah, because the reason I'm clarifying that for myself, because I was like, it's not been a month, but then forgetting she spent a lot of time with your sister.
Yeah, so she did a week with my sister, then did 4 days with me, then went back to my sister for a week, and then did another 5 days, 6 days with me. Mm. So probably three-ish weeks.
Yeah.
Close, almost 4 weeks. So she left Saturday evening.
Mm.
And then...
I was going to say, and it's sad, cause it means your gaming time is staggeringly reduced. However, you've done some good gaming shit this week, so...
Yeah, I mean, in saying that, I really didn't play much while she was down.
Like, I know.
Because I don't get to see her that often. I tend to, like...
Because yeah, we always joke, like, oh, Nanny Casey, I could play games. And then you end up just hanging out with your mum, which is what you should be doing.
I ended up doing a lot of assignments that were...
Yeah, that too.
It was assignment week for my course as well. So I ended up doing a lot of...
Mm.
Nonsense. But yeah, no, it's been good. I'm glad to have my bed back, because when mum's here, I give up my bedroom for her, so that way she has her own space, but ensuite and all that jazz. So I've been sleeping on the pull-out couch for
yeah, and then Ali's with Hadley,
and then yeah, Ali bugs him with our daughter, because she's got a nice double bed.
Mm.
So yeah, I've been sleeping on the couch for a while, and I'm too old to sleep on a couch.
Yeah, but yeah, I think our bodies are most definitely at not couch age, says the guy who's passed out on the couch many evenings as of late, just because it's like, I don't want to go to bed. Not because I don't want to go to bed, it's just like, I don't want to sit and ruminate in my own fucking brain. Someone's going to go until I pass out.
So it's been one of those, like, you know, I sleep 3 hours a night on a couch.
Yeah, so you're fucked.
So it was nice. It's nice to be back in my own room, back in my own bed. But other than that, not much has been happening, really. Just same old, going through the motions. School holidays have started. I'm like mentally preparing myself for 2 weeks of children with no break.
It's a lot of children.
It is a lot of children. It's been one day and I missed school already.
Yeah. I get it. I could sense the energy in your house.
I mean, I don't miss the hecticness of the mornings of...
Yeah.
Juggling, trying to get Ollie dressed to leave the house on time, and Hadley's pretty good. She gets herself dressed. Don't have to worry about her. But Ollie can just be such a pain in the ass in the morning sometimes. It's like, fine, we're going in your pajamas. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Fucking kids.
So, yeah. What about yourself? Have you been?
Look, I've been pretty well. Look, the first thing I want to talk about, we talked about it in the middle of the pre-show thing here on the YouTubes and the Twitches, I should say. This week I finally got to do something really cool. I say that like I don't get to do cool shit all the fucking time, but for those that have been following for many, many years, know that I have, you know, been quite deep in the wrestling world for some time. In various forms, you know, started as a fan, then started going to local shows, then I became sound guy, and then I became comms guy, I'm still comms guy, then I became a ring announcer, I haven't really done that in a little while, because there's, you know, busyness. This week, crossed a different line into the wrestle world, and I am now talent. I am part of the creative of the show. I am Commissioner Ryan Betson for the Malice Wrestling Federation out of the east of Melbourne. We had their second show over the weekend, Eclipse in Pakenham, where Commissioner Betson got to debut, walk out, give a bunch of shit to a person, and set up some stuff for the next show. It was really, really fun. Something that it's interesting. Like, as much as I love wrestling and I love working in the space, it's something that I had never thought would be a place that I would go. Because, like, I know that I'm never going to be a wrestler, right? Similar to yourself, Max. You're like, I sit on a couch wrong, everything hurts. So, like, being blasted into, like, into a wrestling ring, no chance. Not going to happen. But
$50 is $50.
Oh, exactly. That was only $30. But, you know, like, it's one of those things where I never wanted to be a wrestling talent in that sense, because it's not for me, it's for other people. What I like to do is the other roles. Like I said, those more broadcasty roles, those roles that are there to help make everybody else look amazing, right? And when I was asked for the opportunity to do this commission and stuff, I was like, it is essentially an extension of that. I am there to help build stories, to help expand this world, make these faces look like faces, make these heels look like heels, you know, really build on this stuff. I was like, it is the natural escalation of what I'm doing. And after that is like what being a manager for a wrestler or something, right? That's kind of the only other space I can really go. So being given the opportunity was really fun, and especially doing it across a wrestler who I've worked with across a number of different promotions, and there was a storyline that he was involved in that I had a lot of fun with on commentary, and he was the heel in that story, the bad guy in that story. So once that story resolved, he was still a bad guy, but I wanted to ensure that he remained that bad guy. So I would bring up that moment. Anytime I'd do any comments with him, I would always treat him like this big piece of shit. And it was fun because it made him look like an asshole. It gave him extra shit to work with. And that continued a bunch to other promotions, which was really, really fun. So to then be able to start this next part of my wrestling journey with Ethan, or EVO, is really cool. So we've been able to continue the storyline that we made up randomly X amount of years ago and bring it into here. And it was lovely. One cool little thing that Phoebe did, my partner, because she joined us, she filmed it on her phone, and she got my son to film it on my phone so that I got to see it through her eyes, and then I also got to see it through his eyes. Because it was really sweet. He was so excited to be there. And during the pre-show meeting where they sort of run through the show to make sure everyone's on the same beats, I didn't see it because I was sitting behind him in the chair because of the way the seats were structured. Someone messaged me later because I put a lovely picture of he and I up on socials, and it was mentioned that apparently he had just this big grin. He was so excited that when my name got mentioned during the pre-show. And it's fun. Like, granted, like, I do the wrestling stuff for me, and it's something I really, really enjoy. And having James and Phoebe get to be involved and be there and support and cheer. And, like, granted, commentary is fun, but, like, I'm supplementary to the overall experience. And I was quite happy in that role. But to be able to go and do this thing, to be part of it and really put myself out there and try something new, especially with someone like me, because of my ASD and my ADHD, and like I have rejection sensitivity like mad. So after like a fuckload of therapy, I'm a lot better at it than I ever have been. And Ritalin, it's awesome. But yeah, to go out there, do it, and look back on it and feel very happy about it, and then to know that like my partner and my son are there supporting me, and I couldn't hear them or you know their cheers or whatever, but knowing they were there was really huge. And then to walk back and have people like our good friend Big Shep, who was in the chat earlier, to have kind words from them as I came back as well. And then I spoke to some people who I respect in the space, and they were like, it was great. Here are some things you could do better for the next one. And that was awesome, because that's one of the things I have a lot of challenges with in the wrestling space, is that you either get told you're doing a shit job or you hear nothing. So to be able to sit there and get some feedback was really, really cool and really nice to be like, and it's not, it wasn't like it was all shit. It was like, it was fucking dope. These little tweaks will help solidify what you're trying to do. That was really cool. That's enough about me talking about fucking wrestling though. Good news though, Max. Your boy's got himself a job.
I hear he's got multiple jobs.
I have multiple jobs, in fact. So for those paying attention, over the last like 6 weeks, I have been unemployed in between jobs due to not getting past my probation at my former role, sadly, which turns out I'm still pretty fucked up about. So that's a whole thing to learn. But yeah, as of last week, since we recorded, I have been offered two jobs, both casuals. I've accepted them both. I am now returning to the world of support work for a company called All In One, which I'm quite excited for. They're a cool little company that I've sort of seen in the distance for a while. And when I saw the opportunity, I was like, yeah, fuck it, why not? And the other is JB Hi-Fi. So thanks to my friends like Buddy Watson, as well as my friends over in Perth, as part of the wrestle community who work at JB Hi-Fi, kindly put in a good word, gave me some tips and tricks, and then, of course, I still had to go and do the interview, and I apparently did a good job. So yeah, it's a Christmas casual for that. That might just be to supplement whatever I'm doing with the support worker role, because support worker roles pays pretty fucking well. So it'd be kind of secondary. If I'm not getting as many hours here, I can kind of bump it up over here. And it's JB Hi-Fi, man. It's tech and electronics. It's fucking easy. It's going to be so easy to like talk about those things. And I granted, I've not worked in retail in a very long time, especially over Christmas. I might go insane, but it could be some fun and a good way to make some cash in the interim. So I've got my contracts came today for the support worker role. I've printed it out. I've read through it. I'll give it the old signature, and I'll be able to start as of Wednesday, pretty much. So get some shadow shifts, at least get some money before I head off to Perth in a couple of weeks to go to WWE thing. Speaking of, there will be no podcast, whatever week that is.
The 10th.
That's
going to be the
14th. There will be no episode on the week of the 14th, as Max will be at PAX. I will be in Perth, and I will have no access to any recording stuff or editing stuff. So you guys get a week off. Enjoy, I suppose. But yeah, that's pretty cool. But that, yeah, other than that, shit's been pretty chill. Shit's been fun. Life is life. Yeah. Can't complain. Well, I can't complain. There's, you know, being unemployed blows. It's very fucking depressing. But things are getting better. Things are getting better, Max.
Everything's coming up bits.
Not quite, but everything is progressing positively, and I'm happy with that. I fucking like that. It's good shit.
Everything coming up bits and adjacent.
Everything is coming up sort of bits and. It's hinting at pro bets in, which I like. But anyway, when I've not been organizing all that shit, I have, of course, been playing games. So let's talk about what we've been playing. This episode, look, I have titled it pretty intentionally clicky with the idea of, so, Borderlands 4. Because I know there's a bit of conversation on the internets right now about the old Borderlands 4. Max, you and I have been playing it. You've been playing it, dear God, a lot more than I have. But big thank you to the team over at 2K Australia, as well as Double Jump Communications. Let's go.
Look, I've been playing it a little bit. According to my PlayStation 5 game block, I have put in a grand total of 28 hours.
That seems less. But you've done a lot. You've done a lot. Like, you've rolled credits. You've had a time.
So I'm now in the end game, quote unquote. So similar to, I guess not quite similar. So in previous Borderlands titles, once you finish the game on normal mode, you will then replay the entire game again in Vault Hunter mode.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you finish that, you will play the game again in its entirety in true Vault Hunter mode. And that's generally the highest difficulty.
Yeah.
In Borderlands 2 and 3, they added extra tiers above that. I can't remember what they were called exactly. But there were tiers above that, and you had to, you know, do certain things to progress that. So similar to in that vein, in this game, once you finish it, you unlock true Vault Hunter ranks. I am now rank 1.
Out of 5, isn't it?
Yeah, out of 5 at the moment. So essentially what you do is you get a... You have to replay a story mission that is randomized. The mission itself will have modifications. So the one I had to play through were all enemies had regenerate health,
mm-hmm.
and all enemies dropped black holes on death.
What?
Which was a gigantic, which was horrible.
Hi,
horrible.
We can't die, and here's a black hole.
Yeah, so everything, like all enemies, and you would just get sucked in.
And then what?
And then once it exploded, you'd all get flung out.
Oh, okay. Cool.
But because it sucked in all the enemies were just shooting you and you couldn't move because you were also getting sucked in. So I'm just getting absolutely destroyed. It was not fun. And once you finish that, you beat the boss, you go hand the bounty in and it goes pop and it pings you up a Vault Hunter rank.
Yep.
And then you have to do a certain amount to increase each rank. So I've only done one rank at the moment. I'm sitting on... I've reached the max level of level 50. And then once you hit level 50, you get specialization rank, so you can keep leveling up. I have 279 specialization rank, so I'm I'm technically level 320-something.
Fuck. Okay, now it makes more sense. You're like, 28 hours, that doesn't really seem that much for what you've told me. Like, I'm level 500-something. I'm like, Jesus, fuck. All right, yeah, okay. Those 28 hours allegedly have been quite effective. Do you have it open up on the screen next to you?
Yeah.
Check, go into the actual menu of the game. Like, is there an in-game system clock? Because 28 hours doesn't... For what you've done, and knowing that that clock is often fucking wrong, can you check the save file? If you go to load saved, is it like...
No.
Oh, there is no load save, because it's all instance, isn't it?
It just tells... It just, well, I can load my character, but it's just... Oh, no, according to this, my character has had 25 hours played in the campaign.
Okay.
So 3 hours less than what the PlayStation's spitting out to me.
No, normally goes the other way, so there you go. Well, I guess we'll take that 25. Maybe the PlayStation clock counts pause time or something.
Maybe.
You've fucking done so much for 25 hours.
Yeah, done a lot of farming.
Yeah.
Which
demonstrates, how quickly you got overpowered shit and then just wrecked everything.
Yeah, well, I ended the game. The enemies were level around 33. I was level 30-ish at game completion. The weapons I was using were still level 20. I sent you a clip of me one-shotting the final boss. That was hilarious.
Yeah, the big bad, the old timekeeper. Like, everything this game is built towards. Max, pew, blah, 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 dead.
There is another phase after that, and I had to actually do that properly because it stands still long enough to be fucking orbital space lasered, but whatever. That was a fun fight. I really enjoyed the story. I won't go into it too much because it is super spoiler heavy. But around the midpoint of the game, you start seeing characters that you know if you played the previous titles. They kind of help you on your way through. Like in previous games, everyone kind of joins up together to defeat the big bad. That trope is still well and truly here in this game. But it does have a nice payoff in the end, which is cool. As far as Borderlands games go, it's more of the same. If what you like about border games is just the near on endless possibility of loot, build crafting that perfect build. Mm. I spent 3 hours today farming a throwing knife grenade just for the perfect roll. So essentially my build is throwing knife guarantees all damage is a critical damage for the next 5 seconds. I shoot them once and then walk away because on crits, my character inflicts bleed. And then because the game's broken beyond compare, the bleed procs itself because it does critical damage during the 5 seconds that the knife is still in the enemy, and it just infinitely stacks damage. So
yeah,
there's a lot of problem weapons and builds in this game. Now, granted, it's a PvE game. There is no PvP. There are no leaderboards. This is just for the fun of it. So hopefully they don't go too crazy with the nerfs. But I can see that coming in purely to the fact that, like, every single boss in this game can be instantly killed in a single shot.
Now, did you come to these loot pieces by yourself, or did you do a Google and see what was around?
So the only one that I found most of these just playing through the game. And then when I got to the end game, I kind of had a look at what my build was doing compared to everyone else's.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing that I needed to swap out was, like, getting that constantly crit.
Yeah.
Like, just getting the free crit hits kind of solidified the build for me. There's a legendary weapon at the moment that, like, the legendary perk on it is, upon weapon swap, it gains damage. But if it's the only weapon you have equipped, you can just spam the shit out of weapon swap and it just infinitely stacks its own damage. And it can roll as a Jacob's weapon, which means...
it's a brand in the game, right? Yeah,
yeah, the bullets will ricochet if you hit a critical. So you can stack it infinitely, walk into a room, get a crit hit, and everything dies. So there's a lot of problems with balance issues at the moment. And yeah, as far as, like, there's no, like in previous titles, there's the super bosses have been the such and such, the invincible. Those don't exist at the moment. They are apparently coming, from what I can see online. At the moment, there is just a weekly, a boss is picked on a weekly basis that allows you to use your iridium to spawn a more difficult version of that boss. If you have it unlocked, so on your minimap, it'll show up as a little red skull instead of white. And there is a weekly, for all the Destiny 2 players out there, or Destiny players, there is a weekly Xur.
Mm.
So there's a vending machine that sells legendary weapons on a weekly basis. Once you purchase it, you can't purchase again until the next week.
So it's interesting. I was listening to a podcast, as I do, and they were talking a lot about how a lot of this Borderlands does feel very Destiny. Would you agree with that?
Yep.
How so? Obviously, because I have no point of comparison. I mean, I was just curious.
Just with the fact that it's a lot of this stuff's on weekly rotating timers now.
One big unified world.
Yeah. There still are instance zones, but they are few and far between. Mm. The game's just completely open now. The fact that you essentially have a sparrow now, you can just deconstruct your bike whenever you want to, and you can go. Movement does feel very Destiny-like. It's very floaty, especially now that you have a jetpack.
Mm.
Once you do the three hidden vaults, that jetpack becomes better. You can glide further, you can glide faster, and it regains its fuel, for lack of a better term, faster, so you can do it more often. But yeah, I can see that. But yeah, hopefully they add a little bit more end game content. At the moment, it's a little bare bones.
Mm.
It'll be one of those things where I think the reset for the week is Tuesday, so I'll jump on maybe a Wednesday, suss out what's going on, buy my weekly gun, do all that stuff.
And like DLC's always been something within the Borderlands world, so yeah. It's safe to say that, as you mentioned, it may feel a little loose and, you know, a bit lesser than in some spaces, but in time it will fill up.
Yeah,
so they've not, as far as I can recall, they've not announced any sort of roadmaps or anything.
No, so we were lucky enough to be provided with the super
big fancy pants one. Yeah.
So I think it comes with two characters. Usually there's two character DLCs and four campaign style DLCs.
Yeah, but there's been no roadmap, like they're coming these dates times, none of that yet. So
no, not at all. The only other thing that I want to bring up that I think is great is once you finish the game, if you want to start a new character and play the other characters, it allows you to skip the campaign and automatically level up to level 30.
Mm-hmm.
So you can start doing that end game content straight away.
Nice.
Which is cool. You don't have to, like, dick around and do the whole shebang again, which is nice.
Yeah. No, it's good. So, like, yeah, do you enjoy it? You recommend it?
Yeah, it's great. My only complaint is it is horrendously optimized. If you play it for more than an hour, quit the game, reboot it.
Yeah, so from what has essentially been understood and even almost directly implied by old Randy Pitchford, there does seem to be a memory leak. Which means essentially there is a problem within the in the optimization of the game where it will continue to just pull RAM for no reason. And then to get to a point where the console goes, I can't run this.
I've crashed my console 3 separate times by having too much loot on the screen up from like boss farming. Like you really have to clear that loot out every run. Normally I just kill the boss, go back, respawn, come back in, kill the boss, go out. I can't do that.
Apparently it's worse on Pro as well.
Yeah.
Which is insane because it should be fucking running better on Pro, but I don't know.
So, yeah, it's good times.
It's cool. It's interesting because we were discussing this today, actually. So, you and I have very different relationships with Borderlands. And I'm someone that I think I love Borderlands in theory, right? In premise. The idea of the game always catches my attention. I like the art design. Like the psychos look really cool. The idea of the Vault Hunters, everyone coming together, a big loot and shoot and chaos mess. I even enjoyed the old charm and energy of the old games. But when I get into them, very quickly do I go, oh, this might not be it, eh? And I think that's because, for me, the way I play... The way that I play is I love a good narrative. I love that like not entirely linear, but I love that it pushes you forward in like hey, this is the game that we want you to experience, right? And there are games that are different to that I enjoy that are open world, which that the other. Like obviously all my simulation games don't have that. They're just gameplay driven games. But for whatever reason, Borderlands, like that whole loot system is really cool in principle until I have 14 guns in my inventory and they're all slightly different and I go it's the same as MMOs, right? Like I fucking love playing Elder Scrolls Online, but I am positive my build is asshole because I refuse to like suss all the intricacies or the ifs and therefores or buts, and just because I can't process it. I was going, fuck, I don't know what any of that means. So my experience of Borderlands is different. Like and because I'm not a common multiplayer person at the best of times. Once again, I like multiplayer in principle, in theory, but in delivery, it's not quite the way I wanted. That's not to dismiss the game anyway, because as I said, like I've enjoyed what I've played it for, and I do certainly intend to keep going with it. Mostly because the art style doesn't make me want to punch myself in the face this time around, because they've made it at such a high detail and the lighting is really nice and it feels like a world and it looks like a real world, but just with this skin on it rather than whatever. It was fine for what it was back in the day, but there was nature of those old consoles. It looks so good now. But yeah, I've been thinking about this, Max. I don't know whether and you've discussed it recently as well when we're talking about the idea of like online FPSs or competitive FPSs, and you're like, I think I'm done in that space because I don't have it anymore. And I've been thinking about a lot recently about, you know, even because knowing, you know, we're over 400 episodes of this show, working near 10 years in the game space. I've played a fuckload of games in that time. And I'm like, well, my tastes have so drastically changed in the last 10 years. A lot of them are still very the same and still very like one thread or a couple threads. But like there are moments where I'm like, I'm pretty confident that franchise is probably not going to be something I'll ever check out. As much as I'd love to. Like Gears of War is absolutely on that list. Halo is on that list. What else? You know, things like Castlevania or, you know, things that like these are the staples that everyone should fucking play. I'm like, I don't think I'll ever go back. I don't think I'll ever do it.
So for me, it's not that it was... So I'll give you an example too. So it's not that I don't have it anymore. It's that I no longer play games for the competition.
That's what I mean,
I play games to relax.
Yeah.
So... this week saw a new season of Rocket League. So for the longest time I have been stuck in like middle of champ division.
Yep.
Which is like the second third highest rank you can be. I think it goes champ, grand champ, and then like pro essentially. And I just I don't want to have to try so hard anymore when I play. Yeah. So, new season starts. You have to play your 10 placement games. Now, I apologize for my teammates, but I tanked those 10 games. I deliberately threw. I tanked them so hard, and I got put one rank lower. I got ranked in diamond. And then I played some games, and because I got ranked in diamond and I'm a champion level player, I won those games and I got put back in champion. Now I cracked the shit. So I've been playing Rocket League on the PopSir account because I'm in like platinum for that.
Yeah, because it's much lower ranking over that side.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting because as I said, like, you know, it's well known that my love of simulator games, right? And that's just become a thing because it's relaxing. It's a way for me to fucking chill out in my brain and knowing that there are all these intricate like super. Like even Assassin's Creed, right? Like I've wanted to try to enjoy Assassin's Creed so many times. And I have, and like I really enjoyed, was it Odyssey? I liked Odyssey. No, Valhalla. I fucking loved Valhalla. But then it got to a point where I'm like, all this RPG-ness is just like, it's too much. And like even like Soulsborne, I'm like, I would love to be able to get them and understand them, why people love them, but I don't think I can. I don't think it's built for me. And this sucks. But saying that, though, there is a game that has come out in this last week that is built perfectly for me. And that's fucking Skate. So we talked about this before when we did our awesome little hands-on, early preview hands-on. But Skate has finally arrived. It arrived Friday of last week. Had a little bit of time with it before we recorded the show. And then I've just spent pretty much the whole fucking rest of my week playing it. And I'm muting the chat goes, I thought you liked Shadows. I didn't really play Shadows. Max did. And you enjoyed it. Yeah. I've been playing a fuckload of Skate. So it is free to play. There are various levels, like different levels of, you know, there's a middle tier and like a founder's pack, a big fancy one. So big thank you to the team over at EA for sending me through a code for the founder's pack. Sorry, Max. Been playing a fuckload of that. I've just been really just go in. And I've been playing exactly how I wanted to. Because as we were talking about just a moment ago about playing games to relax and to really enjoy it. And that's what it's been. I go in, I go, what missions are around the area that I've spawned in? And I'll go do like three or four little missions, dick about the city for a while, and then I'll turn it off and go do something else. Or play something else, whatever, right? It's been so much fun, and especially to like get that feel back, like that muscle memory of the whole Flickit system. But what has made this game so much more fun for me is my son. Like he and I have similar tastes and similar interests, right? Like I would have mentioned months ago about he's randomly falling in love with Riders Republic. So this weekend I introduced him to Skate. I said, "Bud, this is the game that I grew up with, but this is a new version of it. It's online. It's this, that, the other." And once he realized you could do all the stunt stuff, he fucking loved it. He's like, "This is my shit. I can jump off things and smash into other things. Game of the year," says my son. So we spent a bit of time, like when we weren't at the show on Saturday, so we played a bunch of it yesterday. Pardon me, because I have had it for an extra day because the holidays, but obviously I've got an appointment tomorrow morning and then hopefully start working on the Wednesday. It's been great. It's been really, really fun. And a lot of it's been not very mission based because he's playing on mine. It's just more of let's find a spot and let's just do a bunch of dumb shit and see what we can do. Like, let's climb this building and see what's up on this building and then proceed to do a series of tricks or find the one that we spent a long time trying to find a roof that we could launch off of and essentially float our way into the water just because we wanted to see how far we could go. James realized that if you jump off a building and you free fall, as you hit the ground, if you then press circle and go into a slide, you can counteract the fall and you don't stack it and you can just keep going. Same goes if you fall and you tumble at the last second, you can roll into it and come out of the fall okay. So no stack, no slowdown. Now granted, it can kind of break your combo potentially, but you're not going to like stack it and lose it completely. Once he worked that out, he was like, the fucking game's on. On top of that, like, so once I dropped him back at his mum's this evening, the first thing we did was download Skate because he wanted to play it from home. And then now that he knowing that he and I can play online together, so we can go like just destroy a spot, which is really fun. So I made his character look like him. Mine looks the approximate to me as I can. And so when we go skate around San Vansterdam together, we'll be able to like have a bunch of fun. Even after I dropped him off, like, I got two separate video calls to him just showing me cool spots he's found or this new board that he's got. And he's all super excited. Now, whether it's because he's genuinely enjoying the game, which he has to put this level of attention to it, or he's just doing it because he knows I love it and it's a good bonding thing for us, it's probably a mix of both. There's been a lot of discourse online about Skate. As it's kind of not what it used to be. It's a bastardized version of the old Skate. I'm curious to see what your thoughts on that are, Max, shortly too. But with the nature of what this game is compared to what it was, I think it's exactly what it set out to be. It's exactly what it said it was going to be. Am I super stoked about the really like quote-unquote Fortnite-y art style? Nah, not really. I did like the more realism of the previous ones. But saying that, like, if you think about Skate 3, and like, Jason Lee was in it as Coach Frank, and it barely looked like Jason Lee. Like, there's enough. I think that's Jason Lee. But then you realize it also looks like shit. So, it's okay. Like, this Fortnite-y thing is fine. It does kind of make it difficult to go with my old theory that Tony Hawk was always the Forza Horizon of skateboarding games, with Forza Motorsport being Skate. However, I don't think that's the case anymore. With this being a lot more arcadey, like all these people are like, oh man, they fucking killed my boy and this, that, the other. I'm like, well, go play, like, was it Session? Session is a much more hardcore skateboarding video game. It's a straight up skate simulator in a lot of ways. I enjoyed it for what it was when I played it back in 2020, I think. But what I'm getting out of Skate, as you mentioned, Max, like as our likes of interests have changed and how we play games has altered, the delivery of Skate here is more relaxing. It's more fun. Can it still be super frustrating when, for whatever reason, you just can't nail the flick it and you just keep smashing in this fucking, you know, ledge when you're trying to jump up to the whatever? Yes, absolutely. Is the game a little buggy? Yeah. I randomly stack all the time. And then I've been sent across the map. I've like hit something like collision physics have done some weird things. Obviously, you can absolutely obliterate and break the stunt system. As I mentioned, my son did it almost immediately. But for what I want the game to be, I think it's great. I think it's fantastic. Now, is it disappointing that most things in the game are unlockable through these loot boxes? Yeah. Are they all, is it predominantly in-game currency for those loot boxes? Yeah. Can anything that are in those boxes be bought with real money? No, because they're all kind of your basic shit. But you make enough in-game currency to cover those things anyway. Just by doing missions, you will very quickly get cash. As part of the Founders Edition, I did get given some of the currency of the game, like the actual microtransaction currency.
Sand Van Bucks.
Yeah, the Sand Van Bucks. What did I buy? I bought one thing. Because everything else was like, hey, once again, it's all purely cosmetic. I was like, oh, I like that. You know, that board or that shoe or whatever it was like, that's my skate history. So I have to buy it. As of yet, like, I've not seen anything else that's jumped out. There's a really cool, like, skin pack of the Grim Reaper, and you get like a, you know, big cloak, and your skateboard looks cool and it looks great, but like I'm not willing to invest the in-game currency that I even got for free for it, because it's just not why I want to play the game. Knowing full well that there, aside from possible like park pieces or maybe some potential like DLC areas, I guess. A lot of the concerns around like the all the micros, I think, is kind of gone because it is all cosmetic. It is all skins. Like, there is no way that the game can benefit. There's no way they can increase your ability to play the game. That makes sense. At least,
even if you do, it doesn't matter because most of it is single player anyway.
Bingo. And even if it's co-op, it's collective co-op. It's not verse. Like, there are thrash. Was it Thrashdowns or a Smack? Whatever the fuck it's called. Like, you can verse people, but there is also just active co-op, right? Just you just do it together and you work together to achieve the goal. So, yeah. I know, look, I'm really enjoying it, but now that I have obviously the attachment with my son, my beliefs on the game may alter because it just makes I have a different bias towards it. But obviously, you've been playing at a stack pre-release as part of that EA Insider program. Yeah. And then, of course, with the media hands-on we did as well. Obviously, you've been playing mostly Borderlands this week, but has Skate...
Yeah, I dove into Skate a little bit to do the multiplayer mission segment with you to kind of...
Yeah, because there was some in the main store, the mission run, there was a couple of like, do these with the co-op. And I was like, Max, we do it.
Yeah, so I'm now at the point where I'm out of missions until I complete X amount of...
Oh, in that case, I am past you now. I have done that section for you, yeah.
So I've got to do... I'm at 209 of 250.
Yeah, I'm up to whatever the next 300 and something one is.
Yeah. Which is fine, but yeah, like you said, I've been playing a lot of Borderlands this week. Because what, we got it...
Friday?
Thursday of last week.
Whatever day it came out, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah. And I put in 28 hours since then, so.
True. In my head, it does feel like it's been longer. And I'm like, 28 hours doesn't seem enough, but then again, it has been fucking 4 days. Out of the last 4 days.
No, because we played it last Friday. We didn't play it this Friday. I've had it.
Oh, like, it has been a week. Yeah, okay, cool. That good. That makes more sense. I was like, you said Friday. I was like, oh, has it been Friday? That doesn't seem... I don't know. Once again, unemployed. Time doesn't exist. Time is a whole thing.
Yeah. So yeah, I've not gone back to Skate for a while.
Yeah. Look, I think for what they told us it was going to be. Now, granted, as part of the media hands-on, I guess we had a bit more of a direct insight into it. It's what they said it was. It's what I expected it to be. I think the most people that would be disappointed by it would be people that have had limited exposure to the series or for whatever reason want exactly what it used to be, which is never going to be the case.
I think that the thing I miss most is the fact that there is no Skate game mode yet.
Yeah.
Against people.
What's the other thing that what I would like to see is like the old Hall of Meat stuff where you would like blow out your legs and shit and see all the bones. Apparently you have been for the last 44 minutes, like, you are really quiet. So I'll have to fix that in post. I do apologize. Everyone.
Me? Really?
Oh, no, it's because I turned you down, the desktop audio down. I think last time I played, I did a stream or something. So
fair enough.
So I'll fix that in post. It'll be fine. But yeah, I think the game's great. I think it's fantastic. Outside of that, really haven't played much else. Let me have a look at my games. Play a bit more Everybody's Golf. Jump back into Sakuna, Rise of Ruin. Still meaning to do more Metal Gear, but for whatever reason, I've not been able to make it happen. Anything else that you've been playing, Max?
No.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Not really, no.
All right, well, in that case, let's get into the section we call Inform the Players, where we tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Max, what's happening this week in PlayStation?
Maybe a set of play. Hey. We probably know later today. Maybe tomorrow.
I reckon we'll wake up to it.
Yeah, Sony is widely expected to host a State of Play this week, with the event anticipated ahead of the Tokyo Game Show. The convention will get underway from Thursday, 25th of September, It is expected that the timing of the broadcast to be unveiled at some point later today, with the stream taking place on either Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, which will be Thursday or Friday for us. This could be a big one for Sony, in addition to the usual mix of third-party and indie announcements. Rumor has it that the firm will re-reveal Marvel's Wolverine. We're also due gameplay footage of Saros and updates on Marvel's Tokon Fighting Souls, which they will be showing off at Tokyo Game Show. Sony are going to a convention.
Well, that's the do we want to like do both stories and then state of play predictions? Beautiful. Yeah, let's jump into that. Let me just do a quick timestamp on that bad boy. There we go. So they're back. Sony has barely set foot into a consumer convention for years now, but it's ending its exodus for the Tokyo Game Show. To be fair, it did also have a small presence at the Japanese event last year, but not to the scale that we're talking this year. The show, which is set to go underway as of the 25th of September at Makuhari Messe in Chiba? How do you pronounce that, Max?
I think that's right. I think you nailed it.
We'll see PlayStation bring with it a slew of PlayStation titles, including the following: Battlefield 6, Digimon Story Time Stranger, which I think there's a demo out for that at the moment, Dragon Quest 1 and 2 HD 2D Remake, Fishbowl, whatever the fuck that is, Ghost of Yote, Lumina's Arise, Marvel Tokon Fighting Souls, Meteora, not the Linkin Park album, Meteora, a challenge to Time and Space, Neo 3, Onimusha, Way of the Sword, Phantom Blade Zero, Resident Evil Requiem, Sonic Racing Cross Worlds, and the Seven Deadly Sins Origins. Of note, though, the Marvel Tokon Fighting Souls demo will be an updated version with both Ghost Rider and Spider-Man playable. There will also be new stages on display at the event for the first time. Sony will also be running a stage show live from its booth throughout the weekend, and you'll be able to watch a demonstration of a variety of titles, including Resident Evil Requiem, as well as Onimusha Way of the Sword. Max, so now that is underway, let's break this down. What would be these state of play predictions, knowing that is what's on display, knowing where we are at, and so on? How do you see all this coming together? Are they two linked, or are they independent?
Nah, surely they'll be linked to a degree. It makes me less likely to feel that. Well, it depends. If it's after the major showcase for TGS, then we may see Final Fantasy IX. If it is before TGS's main showcase, we will not see Final Fantasy IX.
No.
I feel like if Final Fantasy IX is getting announced, Square Enix is like going to blow their load at Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah, well, once again, they're in Japan. Like, it makes sense for them. It's a big fuck-off thing.
I think if that's what they're showing at TGS, that's probably what we're going to see a lot of. We'll see some more Battlefield 6. We'll see the updated Marvel Tokon. We may see a bit more Neo. Onimusha will get another look in. Resident Evil may have a new trailer to drop. They'll ramble for a bit. Maybe we'll get another look at this fight stick that they're apparently doing.
Yeah, like, so I look at this, and once again, knowing full well that this is all possibly bullshit too. It depends on, as we all know, this distinction between a state of play and a showcase, right? State of play tends to be little drip feeds. Now, granted, previously showcases have happened around October, November, and they have been independent to any event. So it is more likely that this would be a state of play, almost like you'd almost consider it their TGS state of play. From where I sit, like, I don't think we see Intergalactic. We might see Saros, as you mentioned, but I doubt it. I think the major first party title here, as you mentioned, will be Marvel's Wolverine. It was reported this week that apparently that is still happening, as well as the Venom DLC for Spider-Man, or that standalone Venom title, I should say, very similar to Miles Morales, which we assumed was scrapped post the big Insomniac leak. Apparently that's still in the plans. The big, massive fuck-off potential thing could be another GTA 6 trailer, on the presumption there isn't a showcase in the next couple months. Like, if there's the, if this is their last presentation for the year, would make sense. It is 6 months away, almost to the day. Like, that's a good time to... Not that GTA 6 ever needs reintroduction into the hype cycle, but even if it's like, hey, we're showing you what GTA Online could be. It's not coming at launch, but here's a taster. Yeah. Like, but then again, once again, if on the presumption there's no showcase later, that would be something I would consider seeing. Outside of that, like, what else is coming out in the near future? Yeah, Battlefield 6 makes sense. Marvel Tokon makes sense, especially if they close beta. And obviously, they've got Marvel contractual obligations. I don't want them to do Onimusha again because I'm sick of fucking seeing it. I don't know. It's, once again, it's too hard. Like, I say it's too hard in terms of almost anything is likely to show up that isn't a Microsoft or a Nintendo product.
Well, there's still that rumored... pardon me. That rumored God of War 2.5D.
Yeah, yeah. You and I were discussing these alleged rumors around this God of War Egypt, which could possibly be this 2.5D title.
Fair Games is definitely not showing up.
It would need to if they want to do anything with it, because like we don't have a date for that. But my expectation is it would be next year. It'd be a rough decision to do it, but if they did, it would look cool. In the chat, Mute does put a GTA 4 port.
I'd allow it.
I would absolutely allow it. In my head, I'm trying to map it out, right? Like, obviously, GTA 6 is next year in March. GTA 4 is in hot demand. I don't think it would sell well post GTA 6.
No, but right in time.
So now is actually a really good time. Yeah. If they were like, hey, it's coming out in the next month.
As long as they don't beef it like the trilogy.
Well, I would say that we would have already got a GTA 4 port had Grove Street Games not fucked it so hard. Because I think they would have then gone straight into a GTA 4 port. But I think about this often. Like, I do miss some games that are stuck on PS3. And it's a shame. Because I don't want to play it because it runs so painfully slow now. But, yeah, like Metal Gear Solid 4 is on that list. GTA 4 is on that list. You know, even the idea of like a port of like a Resistance or a Modus, or whatever happened, but...
Resistance is dead.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. But I mean, like, even just the ability to play it, you know, if it was as easy to move things from PS4 to PS5, from PS3 to PS4, they would have done it already.
Hey, we now have a working PS3 emulator.
Yeah, good enough. That would be amazing, but I don't think that's happening anytime soon. But yeah, it's, as I said, it's a bit difficult to predict, especially with the state of the industry as it is at the moment, where like no one's going to go to an Xbox showcase if they can avoid it, because who the fuck would, unless it's on Game Pass? It's interesting. But I don't know, let us know your thoughts. A Metal Gear Solid 2 collection? Coming off of Metal Gear Solid Delta... And that 3 was part of the Volume 1 collection, and the presumption of Volume 2 would be possibly like Metal Gear Solid 4 would be on that list. Peace Walker, definitely. Well, Acid.
Apparently Konami are already asking which one they should remaster next.
Oh, absolutely. And the correct answer
is Sons of Liberty. Yeah.
But then again, it could be, but one would need the most work. But they are also doing it in time order, like in chronological order within the game. So it would actually probably be Peace Walker, really. Which I'd be okay with. Because a lot of Peace Walker influence is in 5. And what I've played of Peace Walker was really, really fun. But yeah. Like, that would make sense. Because I said, like, yeah, if they were to release a Volume 2 with, say... Four, Peace Walker, Acid. Is there another one? And it wouldn't be like, because once again, because Five and Ground Zeroes are playable on these current consoles. I don't see that happening. Unless it might be part of the bundle just because, but I don't think it wouldn't make sense.
What is it? So the chronological order of main games and spin-offs for Metal Gear Solid are as follows. Metal Gear Solid 3, mm-hmm. Metal Gear Solid Portable Ops.
Oh, I forgot about Portable Ops. Yeah, that would be on this volume too, for sure.
Then it's Peace Walker.
Yeah.
Then it's Metal Gear Solid 5, Ground Zeroes.
That's set in the 80s.
75.
70s, that's right. Yeah.
And Phantom Pain was 84.
Mm-hmm.
Metal Gear is 95.
Mm-hmm.
Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake, 1999.
Oh.
Metal Gear Solid, 2005. Metal Gear Solid 2, 2007, 2009. Metal Gear Solid 4, 2014. And then Metal Gear Rising coming in at 2018.
Oh, Rising. Would they put Rising in the volume 2? Actually, I think they would, because if they can work out how to get Metal Gear Solid 4 off the PS3, I would be confident they'd get Rising. The downside is, though, who published Rising? Not that it matters, because it's still
published by Konami. And then obviously the non-canonical...
The Metal Gear Survive, which was buttholes.
It's like Metal Gear, Snake's Revenge.
Oh, these are the precursors to, yeah.
Metal Gear Acid 2, Solid. Solid Mobile, Solid Touch, Metal Gear Arcade, yes, Social Ops. There's a Twin Snakes, Substance.
Oh, Twin Snakes. Yeah, Twin Snakes was the redo for the GameCube of Metal Gear Solid 1, which is probably what they would build off of for the Metal Gear Solid remake, if they ever do it.
Yeah.
Well, we've got in a real weird loop there for fucking Metal Gear, so let's get into the next piece of news, Max.
Okay, next piece of news. Never go for Nintendo. So Sony's lawsuit against Horizon ripoff Light of Motoram has taken a dramatic twist. Tencent has fired back by claiming the platform holder, quote, seeks an impermissible monopoly on genre conventions. The barbed response from the Chinese company, read by The Game Post, follows a lawsuit submitted by PlayStation on the 25th of July, in which it described Tencent's upcoming game as, quote, shameless and a slavish clone. The Light of Motoram maker has now pushed back, arguing Horizon leverages, quote, time-honored tropes embraced by scores of other games released both before and after Horizon. It cites Enslaved, Odyssey of the West, The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, Far Cry Primal, Far Cry New Dawn, Outer Wilds, Biomutant, and many more. It adds, quote, Sony seeks an impermissible monopoly on genre conventions. Tencent argues that PlayStation's lawsuit is not a genuine effort to protect its intellectual property, but instead an attempt to stifle creativity from other companies. Quote, Sony's effort is not aimed at fighting off piracy, plagiarism, or any genuine threat to intellectual property. It is an improper attempt to fence off a well-trodden corner of popular culture and declare that it's Sony's exclusive domain, end quote. Tencent also argues against Sony's claim that Horizon is quote, like no fictional world created before or since, by citing comments made by Guerrilla Games prior to its release. Quote, in a behind-the-scenes documentary, the art director for Horizon Zero Dawn, Jean-Bart Van Beek, explained that the game's core conceit, an intrepid red-haired woman navigating the ruins of a shattered civilization overrun by robotic beasts, had already been executed by a different video game studio in the 2013's titled Enslaved Odyssey to the West. Elsewhere, Tencent notes that Sony has sued the wrong entity responsible for Light of Motoram and wants the case to be thrown out as a consequence. It says that the game is being developed by Polaris Quest, a subsidiary of Tencent Technology in Shanghai, and Proximity Beta in Singapore. It argues that Tencent Holdings, the organization that Sony has targeted, is just a parent company. It therefore argues that claims of Tencent pitching a mobile version of Horizon to Sony in 2024 are completely irrelevant, as no members of Tencent Holdings were present for the meeting. Quote, even if the pitch meeting between Sony and other Tencent entities could somehow be attributed to Tencent Holdings, Sony has failed to make a prima facie showing that any actions at this meeting has caused harm to Sony. Nothing that occurred at the San Francisco meeting, i.e. a request to a license in the Horizon intellectual property, is alleged to be an act of copyright or trademark infringement, end quote. It concludes that Light of Murderam isn't even expected to release until 2027, and Sony's case is based on hypotheticals, as the look and style of the game could change. It is worth noting at this point that the developer has since scrubbed many of the game's original art assets from its Steam page and has replaced them with images that don't resemble Horizon at all.
Okay, firstly, all the games they've listed came out, you know, were all in active, they were all in development in unison. Like, you can't steal shit that hasn't fucking released yet.
Well, that's not true. They specifically cited Enslaved, Odyssey of the West, which came out in 2013.
The difference is Horizon didn't go, hey, let's just remake, let's just fucking go to them and make the exact same fucking game. Like, what the response here of Tencent is, they're like, they're going down the argument line of, oh, you can't have inspiration anymore. Is that what you're fucking saying? Like, no, dickhead. You fucking blatantly copied something. Inspiration and copying is very, very different. The idea of robotic dinosaurs hanging ass around an apocalyptic location isn't unique. Absolutely not. How they delivered it with the tribes and the art style, all those things make the game unique. What you guys were trying to make was not unique. You were making exactly the same thing. You tried to rename it, got caught, fucked it up. Oh, Tencent's not responsible. They're a subsidiary. Who fucking owns a subsidiary? You. That the parent company. That's how it works. You finance that subsidiary. You are the one that has the overall yes and or no. At any point, you could have and should have had oversight on this subsidiary to be like, that's a fucking breach of copyright law, dude. Don't do that. Fucking shut up, the lot of you. I am not a lawyer, clearly. And I'm absolutely probably missing very important points here in what was being summarized and delivered to me. But, in, you know, whether it be here or other places that I've seen it, this just seems like fighting back because they have to and they have nothing. I say that in terms of, like, I feel like they're reaching is what I'm getting at. What do you think, Max?
Look, it's in a world where patents are just full-heartedly taken into account for removing your competition, it is a very slippery slope of
but this is not patent law.
I'm aware that this is not patent law, and at the same time, like, it's one of those things, like, we don't know, to play devil's advocate here, we don't know what the game is about. We have no idea what the plot is. All we've seen is the screenshots that they've provided. I think one of them was like, in a foresty area, there are robotic mechs that resemble creatures, and there is what appears to be natives killing those robots. Has it been done before? Yes, many times. It's one of those things, like, obviously Horizon is a very important to Sony, and it makes sense for them to go after this.
Well, they have to be protective, because if they demonstrate a weakness or a gap in their concern or around their IP, if they see a bit of oversight, people will take it. Like, this corporations, if they can get an inch, they're going to try to take a mile. And if Sony don't act in this way, then suddenly you're going to start seeing Uncharted clones, and they go, hey.
Yeah, it's called Tomb Raider.
But once again, right? Then that's the same fucking thought, right? Yes, we understand that Uncharted is built on the back of Tomb Raider and fucking Indiana Jones. That we know this. It's so clearly visible. But they took that inspiration and that concept and made it their own. That's the whole point. Like, yes, we understand. You know, if they start going down this path, and if Tencent want to play this fucking game, and you want to talk about dangerous precedents, right? If suddenly shit gets locked down of, like, you can't, you know, draw inspiration or, you know, have a, you know, this energy. Like, we have genres of games called Metroidvanias. They are named after the two games that inspired them, Metroid and Castlevania. If suddenly there's this line in the sand that Tencent want to draw that is like, oh, maybe we can't do inspiration anymore. Because, and I assure the conversation is Sony's like, fucking no, you idiots. It's about copying this directly. Coming to us, once again, from what we know, coming to Sony going, hey, can we make a Horizon game? We've already started building one. This is a proof of concept. Which, once again, this is the other damage, right? Because that in itself is, sorry, has been pre-established even within PlayStation, where there was that team that made, was it the Sly Cooper? Sly Cooper 4? Like, there was originally, like, a team that made this their own fucking game, and then they got brought in to do it. Happened with Sonic Mania, right? They were making some Sonic fucking thing, then they got brought in to make Sonic Mania, right? There is pressure within the industry for people to make a game that is blatantly a fucking rip and then being brought into that development team, right? It happens. Sony's the first to, well, not the first, but to really kind of go, no, and then make all that other side public. Any other company should go no, and then they should can it, right? But these guys chose to commit to go through it. Now, I don't know, Max. It feels frivolous, but it's coming from where I'm standing, I guess.
I mean, I also see no difference between Horizon and this title as opposed to Palworld and what is Pokemon. Mm. Like, they couldn't get them on this, so they've gone after them on so many different things.
Yeah, it's like the old Al Capone for tax evasion instead of his actual fucking crimes.
You know, I think it was this week that it, Pocket Fair are fighting back to that patent that they did, because there are games where that exists previously to the patent being filed. Therefore, it's useless. Because it exists inside a Dark Souls mod, and Nintendo went, no, fucking mods aren't real games. Piss off.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, yeah. Yeah, like I said, if this... I don't see it going well for Tencent. It's like, hey, I'm not in charge of what my fucking children do. Like, yeah, you are. That's the part that got, like, all the other part, like, look, I don't agree with it, but I can see their reasoning about referencing other games that have similar influences and going, we're not that. But the idea of, hey, we're their parent company, who we're not responsible for what they do, it is literally, fucking literally how that business structure works. I think Max is frozen. He has a very stern face around his belief on those things. Have I lost internet or has he lost internet? I'm not sure. Hi, everyone at home. Max and I are still chatting, but he's currently gone. He may return. He's back. There you go.
Are you good?
Yeah, we lost you for a minute. Yeah.
Okay, that was weird.
Did you lose me at all?
No, you went all crackly and predator voice for a bit.
Oh, nice.
But I still could hear you. Look, it's just... You tend to not sue the parent company if something goes wrong with...
Well, you kind of should, because once again, they're the ones that say yes or no, right?
But that's not what you... It tends to be not what you do. Like, you don't... Like, if you... We'll use something local here in Australia. If you trip over in Coles, you're suing Coles, not Wesfarmers.
I'd sue Wesfarmers. There's a difference there, and weirdly I learned this week. Wesfarmers, yes, they own, but Coles is run as it's on the stock exchange as its own thing. It is a separate entity in near every fucking possible way. Where I doubt that Polaris or whatever the fuck their name were are that. I doubt that they're run individually on the stock. You know, it's like if Naughty Dog... Naughty Dog is a subsidiary of PlayStation Studios. It is a company owned within them. You know, I could be getting my terminology wrong here. I'm more than aware that I'm also fucking dumb, but...
Yeah, I'm just going to have a quick look. Where the fuck did it go? Sorry, hi everyone. I'm just trying to read really quickly to find what I'm looking for.
It's a company controlled by a holding company.
Yeah, but it's because Polaris Quest is owned by two parent companies, one in China, one in... Then
they should be suing that other parent company.
One in Singapore, one in Thingo.
Then they should be altering the lawsuit to both of them. But then again, Tencent and Sony have a much more they have a working relationship in other ways. Here we go. A subsidiary company is a business entity that is owned or controlled by another larger company, known as the parent company or holding company. This control is typically established through the parent company owning more than 50% of the subsidiary shares, giving them a controlling interest and the power to influence or direct the subsidiary's operations. Therefore, they should know what that company is doing and how it's going. And what they are like here we go. Follow up sentence. Despite being controlled, the subsidiary remains a separate legal entity from the parent company. Mm. So there may be, I'm standing my ground because I'm fuck them, but I am willing to alter my stance because of that one sentence that I have no way of further proving because I'm lazy. Fuck, I still shouldn't have done it. Look, I'm happy to admit that I'm wrong there. That's fine. Ignore everything I've ranted about for the last, 5 minutes. Now that you've done a quick Google search, Max, how is that? You stand differently? My stance isn't different, but I'm happy to retract my statement.
Well, no, my stance is you should sue the people that are doing it, not the parent company. And it's the same with, I guess I can also see the argument of just because we came to you with an idea for a mobile game for Horizon and you said no, has nothing to do with what they're doing over there. Mm.
I get it, but at the same time, I'm kind of like. All right, we need to move on.
Yeah, look, the game doesn't come out until 2027 anyway. The whole thing could be changed by then. And in the current climate of game design and whatnot, the thing's going to be cancelled anyway. Who gives a shit?
Bingo, bango. All right, quick bits. Insider Gaming's Tom Henderson said the next mainline God of War title will introduce an Egyptian sword as Kratos' weapon of choice. So that is the one that's a sickle, goes whoop, go line, straight, and then curve.
The Kapesh.
It would be cool for him to have the sword in the same way that he had the Sword of Olympus, but put those things on fucking chains, sir.
The Kapesh is the Egyptian sickle sword.
That's the one that Anubis holds in pictures and shit, right?
Yeah,
put them on blades.
Horseback, I think.
Yeah, put them on. You would have seen fucking in the Mummy.
If you watched the Mummy.
If you watch the Mummy, it's the sword they have. But once again, it's Kratos. Put them on fucking chains. That'd be sick. But then we were discussing this today. Max and I, when we caught up, we were like, would it make sense to go to Egypt? And my belief is, yeah. Because if you need to go down the list of mythologies that people know the gods in and can easily connect to, Greek's number one, Roman maybe second, Norse is up there, Japanese maybe, but I think that's harder. Egyptian is logically the next one.
What is his reasoning for going there?
I don't fucking know. What was his reasoning going to Norse?
Well, he needed to escape and then he fell in love.
Norse, he solved all their problems and everything ended really well.
He's not going to remarry. He's not going to bang out another.
Well, he's immortal. He probably should. But then again, is it then Atreus' story? Because I don't see that going well. In a world where what's this? It's a remake with a fucking younger, more diverse audience. And it's, yeah, it's fucking Atreus and Agrabota. Yeah, it's going to go well.
How is it diverse? It's a. I mean, he's redheaded.
But once again, you talk about, like, was it any reboot? Like, was it the fucking Black Widow movie was more about the younger, nothing to do with Black Widow, it's about the younger person. Kenobi wasn't about Kenobi, it was about the other younger person. And if they go, hey, it's God of War, not about Kratos, everyone's gonna crack the shits.
It depends on how they title it. If it's blah blah blah, a God of War story, then it's fine. Give shit.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. That'd be okay. That's a good
call
way
it, they can't. They can't call it like God of War. Atreus is right. Fuck you.
Yeah, that would get me mad. That would get me mad. That's true. Saying that though, I'd still play the fuck out of it.
It's like all those John Wick spin-offs. It's like a John Wick adjacent shindig shenanigan.
Oh yeah, it's like it was like The Nun or Annabelle, like a Conjuring story or whatever the fuck.
What was it called? It was called Ballerina, a John Wick from the world of God of War.
Yeah, from the mythos of God of War, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool. Battlefield 6 will not feature console-only crossplay. So if you want to play crossplay, guess what? You have to go with PC where all their packs are.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You and I were discussing this as well the other day, like Battlefield 6. Both you and I are like, yeah, we're kind of keen, but like, not really. But also, yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah.
But that game's ages away, man.
It's really not. It's like 2 weeks away.
Oh, really?
But here are the games coming this week. Nailed it. On the 23rd, on the 23rd of September, you have Baby Steps coming to PS5.
That game looks fucking weird. It's been a bunch of state of plays. Looks weird.
Forgive Me Father 2, PS5.
Sounds sexier than it should be.
Wonder what happened to Forgive Me Father 1.
Yeah, was it like, well, it was one of those sneakies where they release a sequel without releasing a first. What is the game? What would be the gameplay for Forgive Me Father?
I'll tell you. I'm pulling it up right now. Quote, embark on a path to salvation as you continue the story of the priest
character
from the first installment. How long can you balance on the edge of sanity? Will your sins be forgiven or your soul consumed by man? Didn't we play this?
This looks dope. Like, this looks fucking rad.
Didn't we get a random keymailer key from there for this? Or is it just happens to be something very similar? Is this something that we played?
It looks very similar, but it's got kind of that. It's cell shaded, but not to like the extent of like Borderlands. It's kind of more, not even quite like that old 13 game. I don't know how to explain it, but it looks fucking cool. It does look cool.
Sworn PS5 and Wizardom PS5, PS4. On the 24th of September, we have Beat Hazard Arcade. On the 25th of September, we have Agatha Christie, Death on the Nile, PS5, PS4. Mamoroken,
Recourse,
PS5, PS4. Meteor Fall, Crummet's Tale, PS5, PS4. Republic of Pirates, PS5. Silent Hill F, PS5.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Sonic Racing Crossworlds, PS5, PS4. And on the 26th, we have Atelier, Resluriana, The Red Alchemist and The White Guardian, PS5, Cladon X3, PS5, PS4, EA Sports FC 26, PS5, PS4, Hotel Barcelona, PS5, NBA Bounce, PS5, PS4, and Pac-Man World 2 Repack, PS5.
Oh, okay. Forgive Me, Father looks fucking sick. So it's a boomer shooter. It's got that kind of 2D animation, so all the characters look 2D. The world is 3D, but it's everything's kind of in that like plate, very similar to say Mouse PI for Hire. So it did come out in October of last year on PC. It looks fucking cool. I was joking, but it looks sick, and it's all like wrapped in Eldritch Horror and like a little Lovecraftian shit.
That's cool.
That was kind of cool. Obviously, Silent Hill F is a doozy. Sonic Racing, my kid will be fucking keen for. Atelier Ryza, whatever, it's your folks.
Yeah, part of me is pretty keen on that. I enjoyed the last three games. I enjoyed the Atelier Ryza trilogy. I do love a good weeb game. And this looks sufficiently weeby. Where's the plot? Slade and Rias. Oh, I'm in. Oh. Oh, Riza's here too. Oh, Riza. Well, maybe I'll have to... This game can be enjoyed entirely offline. Connection. No, that's what I like. Where's the story? Here we go. Two young adults return to their lost hometown in search of truth and to bring back what they hold dear. Oh, man. This looks... Yeah.
I'm being distracted by shit. We should probably fucking wrap this bitch up. Like, you're looking over here. I'm looking over there. Good podcast. All right, everybody. Well done. Let's get the fuck out of here, Max.
You know the drill, everybody. This PlayStation Conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can. Check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. Those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. Watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, or comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopcultures. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. Hopefully you have a state of play next week. That'll be a fun show.
If you need me to come and pimp slap some bosses in Borderlands 4, hit me up.
Oh yeah, we'll have to organize some time, I think. Well, then I'll go. If you want to go do some like flip tricks and shit, let me know.
Just for everyone in general.
Oh.
Like if people out there are playing Borderlands 4 and just need some, hit me up.
Yeah. Don't hit me up about playing Skate. I'm gonna be playing by myself with my kid. Sorry.
What's that got to do? What's that got to do with playing Skate?
Nothing. I'm just saying, in terms of you, like, hey, I want to be really friendly and play with people. I'm like, I don't want to do that.